Psalm 25. And we are going to pick up tonight at verse number 16. Psalm 25 and verse number 16. And there the Bible tells us this. David speaking here, and he says, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins." Father, thank you for your word. Direct us, help us, and guide us. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. So notice what David says here in this psalm. He says in verse 16, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me." Turn thee unto me. So the implication here is that the Lord has not had his countenance upon David, that he has turned away. Because, brethren, you don't ask somebody to turn to you if they're already beholding you. Okay? So when David asked the Lord, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me," it's because the Lord's countenance has been turned away from David. Why would the Lord do this? Well, either because of sin, because look in this psalm, look at verse 11. "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." Go down to verse 18. "Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins." In this psalm, David is asking for forgiveness for sins. And you know, you got to love about David, he doesn't sugarcoat things. He says, "Mine iniquity is great." He says, "It's great." You know, and you've got to appreciate that he doesn't try to take and say, you know, brethren, our tendency in our flesh is to be like, "Well, you know, it ain't really." Brethren, I dare say when you got saved, you wasn't making no excuses about your sin. You saw yourself as you were. And brethren, we got to deal with things as they are. Not sounding, brethren, we're probably not headed for reconciliation when we deal with sin in our life by, "Well, you know, others." And you know, it's not. Man, best thing we do is just call it like it is. Amen. Just call it, brother, come on. What did it take? What messed man up to start with? One bite of a forbidden fruit. It's disobedience. So David calls it like it is. He doesn't try to take and make the thing something it's not, and so should we. So God's countenance has not been toward David. So it could be because of sin, and probably is, seeing these verses here. Sometimes, though, it is to increase our faith. Brother, sometimes God withdraws his countenance from you and I to increase our faith. He hides himself, as it were, because we need to grow. We need to take him at his word. And sometimes that closeness that we like, and if we had our way, would always be there. Brethren, sometimes he pulls that away so we can grow. Brethren, it's just like when a mother bird is getting a bird, and a bird's getting a bird out of the nest and tries to get them to take those steps to get out. Brethren, when you're teaching somebody something, there comes that time that, brethren, if you're having to do something for somebody all the time, then they're never growing and they're never coming to perfection. And though God, we know that in a sense God does it all, but brethren, he wants you and I to lay hold of those principles and grow. That gives him pleasure to see us take the principles of his word and grow therein. And to do that, sometimes to force that growth, he will withhold himself. And you seem to can't find him. And you can't figure out anything that's wrong. Now again, sometimes it's sin, but not always. And you can't figure out anything that's wrong, and you're racking your brain, and shoot, you're ready to confess anything that you're not even quite sure you have done. Just something, right? But rather, it could be that God is just withdrawing so that you will walk in the trust of his word. Look, come here. Think about what a pleasure it affords the Lord that in the face of the powers of darkness, you can't sense his presence, but yet you still say, "Trusting your word, Lord." Just think how that makes the Lord feel in the light of all the powers of darkness observing that. I mean, if you will, brethren, I'm not saying the Lord does this exactly, but just for a way of putting things, that's my boy. And in a sense, that's what he did with Job. I know that he says, I know it wasn't quite those wordings you understand, but the Spirit almost like, that's my boy, check him out. What did the Lord say about Job? Hast thou considered my servant Job? Is none like him in the whole earth. You know, and though thou movest me against, you know, look, he's still. And brother, for you and I, you know, when the Lord withdraws his presence at times, but yet we'll still march on. So I'm not quitting. God's good. His word's true. Any problem's a problem with me, but I can't know the problem unless he shows it to me. So I'm just pressing on. I believe that's pleasing, very pleasing to the Lord. And I believe it's something, if you will, pardon me the phraseology of it, but something that gives pride to the Lord of his youngins, if you understand what I'm saying. In the sense of, it pleases him. Please, like it would please you. Do you see your children do such? Take your Bible, go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Brethren, we would love to live always in the just basking in the fullness of his presence. That's enjoyable, but that does not make the perfected saint that God wants us to be. That does not make the strong saint that God wants us to be. That does not finish us out and complete us the way the Lord wants us to be. And we've got to trust that he's there, even though we don't sense him there. Isaiah 59 and verse number 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. All right, so that's the first part of what I was looking at earlier. Some's a sin. And I think it was with David's case, because he mentions in this psalm twice his sins. That's possibly the reason why God has hid his face. And brethren, we know that, and I'll bring this up again in a moment or two, but we have the Comforter. But brethren, the Comforter, you're sealed by him. He's there. But he's not going to perform the function of that office if we're grieving him. How can he comfort if we've grieved him? And sin grieves him. So to get that comfort, we've got to get the thing right. All right, we've got to get the thing right. Take your Bible, go to Job 23. Job 23. Job 23, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Have you never felt like, God, if I could just get 5 minutes with you, if I could just get 5 minutes in your presence to make my case, and Lord, I'm sure you'd bring out and show me where I'm wrong, but at least I know something. That's what Job's feeling. Job's like, if I could just come before him and make my case, and even not so much to win the case, but just to find out, what have I done? Where is he at? So verse 6, will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand readeth word, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's it, brethren. That is it. If it's because of sin, get it right. If it's not because of sin, but yet you still just can't find it, press on. Press on. Keep doing what you know is right. Keep with the program. Press on. When he's tried you, you'll come forth as gold. Seriously, just press on. All right, go back to Psalm 25. Let me say this to you. Could it be that he has turned from you because you have turned from him in some area? You got to always consider it. Go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3. Malachi chapter 3. And in Malachi 3, could it be some area? Malachi 3 and verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Reminds me of, I can't help it, just brings to my mind, of Arthur Ravenel. Arthur Ravenel, one time when he was running for office, had a commercial, right? Arthur Ravenel, he's just a South Carolina, you know, fellow up one side, down the other. And he said, you be for me, I be for you. But the Lord says, return unto me and I'll return unto you. So God says he would return unto them if they would return unto him. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye rob me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Listen, you know what the Lord said? He said, if you'll return to me, I'll return to you. And they said, well, where have we gone away from you? Where have we not? Where do we need to return? The Lord says, you robbed me. And they're like, well, where did we rob you? Tithes and offerings. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth tonight. I'm going to tell you folks the truth. It don't really matter whether you believe it or not, because God knows it's true, and that's all that matters. Now, I did not tailor this kind of thing at all tonight to be anything about giving. A week ago, I sit down to study in there and get these notes, and I can tell you right now, I've just put the things down. I went to Malachi, but I'm going to tell you right now, I believe with all my heart, the Lord wants me to stop a moment and ask every one of you here to be honest with yourself. Would you have been guilty, or are you guilty of what we're looking at in Malachi 3? Have you been robbing God? Where have you robbed God at? I didn't say you have. I'm asking you, have you? Where? Well, tithes and offerings. Look here. It says tithes and offerings. Also says missions. How you doing? Hey, I say tell me. That's between you and God. But I'm asking you, how you doing? Have you been robbing God? Look here. Tithes and offerings, missions. How you been doing? Have you been robbing God? Now, seriously, I don't know that. But I know we cover it here in Malachi because the Lord had turned away from them because they had turned away from him. How did they turn away from God? In giving. Tithes and offerings. Look at missions there. We got two boxes there. How faithful are you with them two boxes? Well, that's my business. Whoa, son, don't you up on me. I know it's your business. I ain't call your name. I hope everything's fine. How are you with them two boxes? And listen now, folks. We got a God that's awful good to us. Now, folks, look here. I don't run campaigns around here. I don't do a faith promise deal. Somebody years ago would come by. I don't like it. I just don't. It's not my deal. I try not to ride you about it. I don't. But I wonder sometimes, if because I don't try to ride you, if sometimes it gets to be a thing of like not too important. Now, I don't know. I don't know that. But I'm just putting it out as a warning. I think I can tell you, you got a pastor who's not going to ride you about giving. I've been around stuff like that, but I'm going to do it. But don't take that as something to where, since I don't, that you just kind of let it slide to the wayside. And you don't make much of it. Look, the Lord told them, you've robbed me. And tithes and offerings. There's two boxes over there. Are you giving to God in your tithes and offerings? Are you? Listen to me now. Things that come in. Listen, be careful that you don't. Listen, now, brother, look here. Wacky stuff can go on. Don't listen. If helping a brother or sister out is fine, but what I'm saying to you is this, look here. Don't think, I'm going to take this brother or sister out to eat and that'll be my tithes. What are you doing, man? Come on, get, it goes right in. Listen to me. And missions. Are you giving to missions as God would have you to do? Are you? Don't forget those two boxes. Listen. Have you tried to pull aside a time and get with God and say, Lord, is my giving where you want it to be? Is my missions giving where you want it to be? Are you trying to put something in there? Something. And God, what would you have it to be? Folks, listen. Now listen to me. I understand today. I don't go along with quite how everything is done with missions today, and a lot of I don't. But I remember the man ordained me. He told me, he said, "Brother Doss, if a church is not missions minded, they don't have no mind at all." That's pretty good. Because the whole thing about missions is somebody told us, let's go tell somebody. You know what I'm saying? So it's important. Now, Brother Lakir, all I'm asking you to do is say, will you search your heart? Now listen, if you've not been given, shame on you. Shame on you. I don't mean shame on you because of me or this church. I'm talking about God. What's God done wrong to you? I love you. But what's God done wrong? Huh? When you think about how good He is. You know what? Just today, there was a little something we was doing, and I wasn't really pitching a big fit about it, but I started to just make a negative comment about something. And I thought, Lord, I'm sorry. You're so good. I said, Lord, my back may be hurting a little bit here, but I'm glad I got a back that can hurt right now. And I can still, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, man, there's so many things to be thankful about. So many things. And things we ought to be thankful about. And so let me tell you something. Do you know that giving is one of those ways you can do more than just say it? You're supposed to say it, but giving. It's like, God, here's something I can do for how good you are and have been to me. All I'm saying is, The Lord turned away from them because they turned away from Him. And they said, well, where? How? The Lord said, tithes and offerings. You robbed me. And then the good Lord, being the good Lord that is, He goes, look, prove me. God, just prove me. If you'll bring them in, I will take care of you. I will. And brethren, He will. Listen. Of course, there's testing times with things, but listen, I'm talking about, have you got with God and said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Or Lord, do you want me to increase my giving unto you? God, what do you want me to do? Tithes and offerings and missions. Serious matter. And it caused the Lord to turn away from Israel because they had turned away from Him in giving. And folks, again, I don't ride the thing. I really don't. I think I can honestly say that. But be careful, because just because I don't ride it, that it lets you slip out and not worry about it, so to speak, or have it on your mind. It's a serious matter with God. It's a very serious matter. I don't have campaigns. I don't try to whoop it up. I don't have, because ultimately, brethren, it ought to be a heart matter. It ought to be a matter of the heart. But be careful. If it's not done, and not done as God would have it done, you'd be guilty of robbing the Lord. All right. Is there some area in your life? With them, it was their giving. Is there some area in your life you need to turn or return to God in? Sometimes some folks need to return in their Bible reading. Some people need to return in all different areas. Is there some area? I don't know. I'm just asking. Is there some area in your life that you need to turn to God or return to God in? That you know what you were doing pretty good about, but now you've just let it. And you know what? We'll make excuses for it. We'll justify it in our mind. But when you get alone and there with the Lord, you know there's no justification for it. All right, look at verse 15. Psalm 25, verse 15. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Okay? Verse 15. Notice, verse 16 says, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me. Well, look what he said in verse 16. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. Here's the reason I bring that up. Until the Lord turns to you, I tell you what you do. You turn to Him and keep your eyes toward Him. Until He turns to you, you turn to Him. And you keep looking at Him. You just keep your eyes on Him. And if you feel like He's not looking at you, it's okay. You just keep looking at Him. Go to Luke 18. Luke 18. as an old song, old mountain song, that about a sailor who went away, and he had to go off in the Navy, right? And so he gave his beloved a ring, right, and said he'd be back, and he was gone a long time. I don't know if war came up or something came up, and he was a long time getting back. And so she was there working in the yard one day, and this stranger comes up, right? He's all bearded up, and he looks different, all like that. And he goes, "Well, you're a pretty looking young maid." And says, thank you. And she says, "Well, got any bows or any suitors?" "I'm spoken for, sir. I'm spoken for." "Well, where's he at? I don't see no ring." He goes, "Oh, well, he's gave me a ring, but we're not married yet. But he's coming back to me." "Well, what does he do?" "Well, he's a sailor." "Oh, he might have died by now. He might have died." "Well, I have no word of that. I have no word of that." "Well, he's probably got somebody else. He's probably forgot about you. He's got somebody else." "Well, I'm not going to worry about that." No, then she says, "Well, if he does, I love him so much. I hope he's got a good, and she's good to him." And she goes on and on, right? He's trying to just get her, right? And then he takes and he pulls out something. I forgot how the thing goes completely, and it's him. And she just faints right there at his feet and everything, you know. But it's ain't that good? Killed her. I mean, come back. But she stood true. She stood true. I think one of the things that probably blessed Jacob's heart so much was to find Joseph all those years in Egypt, and he stood true. He stood true. Brethren, when you can't sense him, you can't find him, things seem stand true. Lord, only course I know is to keep my eyes towards you, and I plan on doing it. And brethren, though we don't see it now, it will be worth it all over there. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it to see, "Child, I saw the whole time. I knew I was there. I just, and you stood true. You didn't quit. You stood true." Brethren, remember that. Remember it. Look here. Watch this. Luke 18, verse 1. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me," she's aggravating daylights out of me, "I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto them, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" In other words, his children crying out, and yet God bearing along with them and not coming through and not coming through and not coming through. But he will. But he will. But he will. But the key, listen, there's no question of God coming through. The question is, will we? There is no question that God will prove faithful. Will we? Thus he asked, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Will he? Will he indeed? Brother, may he find it with us. May he find it. May God help us. May the Lord help us. All right, look here. Go back to Psalm 25. Verse 16. David says, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted." The word desolate in the dictionary means solitary, without a companion, deprived of comfort. Have you ever felt desolate? Have you ever felt desolate to where even those who cared about you just couldn't quite, you needed something from God, and you just couldn't seem to get it? Afflicted means affected with continued and often repeated pain, either of body or mind, suffering grief or distress of any kind. Again, I ask you, have you ever felt that way? David says, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Lord, I feel alone. God, I feel forsaken. God, I feel dropped and just forgot about. God, I'm afflicted. God, help me. Look upon me. Lord, look at me. See me. Help me. Turn to me." I tell you what, brethren, those are rough times. Man, those are times when you go out in the backyard or you go in the woods. I'm serious. I've been there. And you're just saying, "Lord, please. God, I need something from you. Lord, show me yourself. Manifest. God, just show me something wrong or something. Lord, show me. And nothing. Nothing. Not showing anything wrong. But you can't sense his smile and favor neither. And the only thing, your choice you really got. I know you can say, well, you got choice. No, but come on, the only choice it can be is, well, press on. Press on. Press on. Amen. And you're begging, Lord God, you're good. And Lord, all the songs we sing, and Lord, it's just something. Show me. And you don't get that smile. And you don't get that favor. And you don't get that. And it won't even convict you about anything. And you're just like, and then all you can say is, Lord, you're good. You do all things well. I trust you. By your grace, I'll keep doing right. And you go on. You go on. Look here. David felt this way, and so have others. You know, the Bible says, your adversary, the devil's roaring lion, walks about seeking you, who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. Others know what it feels. They're going through it too. Listen, there may be purpose in it. There may be. If it's sin, God will show you. If it's not sin, there's purpose in it, even though you can't see it. Go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. Look at verse 10. Well, look at verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. See, I wish it would be nice if it said after you'd suffered 3 months. But don't say that. After ye have suffered 2 weeks. After you've suffered, it's a while. Kind of open-ended. Make you perfect. Establish. Strengthen. Settle you. Amen. Amen. We need that. We need that. All of us need that in our lives. Amen. I've said it before. I know you're probably tired of hearing it. But see, we always want God just to, you know, boom, there it is. You're perfected. You're settled. He doesn't do it that way. He does it through suffering. And not just a moment of suffering, but sometimes a while. After you've suffered a while, make you perfect. Complete you. Finish you out. Establish. Settle. Strengthen. Settle you. Are you ready? You ready for what he's got? For the next stage of what he's got. See, you make progress in the Lord, and you feel pretty good about that because you've seen God do things in your life. And God says, that's great, but now we've got to go to the next level. And the next level means it's the next level, but it's kind of like, hey, woo, man, I'm in junior high now. But it's like, yeah, you're junior high, but junior high's got its own stuff. And it's like, wow. You know, usually in life, you're always on the bottom of the totem pole, sometimes someplace. You know what I'm saying? You finally make it through grade school, and you're in the sixth grade or whatever. You know, it's like, all right. And then you go to junior high, and you're nothing. You're nothing. So then you make it through junior high, and you're like, I got adjusted to this thing. And then you go to high school, now you're really nothing. You are really nothing. Yeah, and you know what? It's like, I feel like I'm in first grade again. Man, it's all that stuff. The subject matter is different, but the feelings can be the same. And you know something? As you grow in the Lord, the subject matter is different. You're moved to another level. But yet the process makes you feel sometimes the same as it was earlier. And it's all that process, and there's just no way around any of it. The problem is, brethren, we have a generation of people that won't sit still for it. They will not sit still for it. And so they never get developed to be all they can be for the Lord and what God would have them to be. And they'll show up on the other side because they can't. They won't submit to the process. They won't sit still. And there's no way around it. There's no way around it. That's the way it's always been done, except today when we have the generation instant everything. Instant tea, instant this, instant that. But you know what I'm saying? Used to, you know, you brewed some tea, you know, and you brewed it, you let it sit, and you know, we went instant. Everything instant. I'm not saying it's wrong to get instant, but I'm saying, brethren, hey, we want everything instant. Well, you know what? God don't play it. God says it's not on my shelf. God says I don't carry that product. You understand? Lord says you have to go somewhere else because I don't carry that product. It's not my way. That's just not what I can put on my shelf. My shelf of spirit. When you go to my spiritual grocery store, you don't find it. I just have things it takes a while to do. And we need to remember that. All right? So it's part of the process. All right, look here. Go to Psalm 34 real quick. Psalm 34. Verse 19. Now, I've said it to you before. Listen to me, people. I've said it to you before. If our Lord tarries longer than we would hope, there's going to be a need for some perfected, settled, established believers. Do you understand me? Let God do that. You may be thinking, I just think I'm twiddling my thumbs till the Lord comes back. I ain't seen no purpose He's got in my life. Stop. He don't have to fill you in on what His plans are. Just do right. But there's going to be a need. I told you, brethren, I've had a gentleman. It's been 30 years since I've seen this guy. And man, he's been contacting me this week. And I've had some good conversations with him. You know why? I get the sense he's about ready, just done with it as far as what he sees and professing Christianity. We've had some good talks that have helped him get centered back around those things. And you know what? Once again, he's seen this stuff about what's supposed to happen either tomorrow or Friday or Thursday, you know, with the rapture taking place and this, that, and the other and all like that. Which, I mean, glory to God. But if not, there'll be something else. All right? And brethren, what there's going to be a need for is some perfected, established, strengthened, settled believers. But that only comes by sitting through some things. Suffering and other things that God allows and brings. Psalm 34, look at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Let that verse help you. Put it up in your house somewhere, man. Put it in front of your computer desk or put it somewhere. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. There it is. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. You'll find out, brethren, that God allows these things and there's a purpose for them. They're not to destroy you. If you keep going and do right, you come out of them. You come out of them better. But there are many. There are many. All right, look here. If it's because of sin that God's countenance is turned away, you won't find the comfort of the Holy Ghost until you remove whatever's grieving Him. Real quick, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Those are things that will grieve the Spirit of God. And be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. When forgiveness is sought, grant it with a forgiving spirit. Go back to Psalm 25, verse 17. Look what David says next. He says, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Wow. So David had heart troubles. I'm not talking about his physical heart, if you will. But David had heart troubles. Well, what else do you make of something that says, the troubles of my heart are enlarged? Did you know that people can have a physically enlarged heart that causes trouble? Yeah. Some folks have an enlarged heart. And that enlarged heart can cause trouble. It kill you. It can cause, because your heart, it's a muscle, but it can get enlarged in a way that is unhealthy. Sometimes there are some athletes that develop an enlarged heart, and it's not a good thing. Sometimes, everything is extreme, right? You got these extreme athletes and sports and athletes that do extreme things. It's not real healthy. It's not real good. There's a moderate kind of thing, but they're finding out that some of this stuff that gets to the extreme and these long marathons, this and another, it's putting some taxing on the body sometimes. It's not good. Anyway, David had some heart. He said, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. What's going on? What is this? There were things that disturbed and vexed his heart. often such troubles seem to grow rather than lessen. What do? Look, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Have you ever got up one day and thought, well, you know what, surely I won't hear any more bad news. Have you ever? And it's like, I don't think I could take another ounce. And so you don't get an ounce, you get a cup. Let me tell you something. I've heard people say, you know, God's made our bodies a little bit more resilient than what we think they are. And a lot of times a coach will show a young individual, a young athlete, that he has more in him than what he realizes. We know what, brethren? God helps us to realize that we have more in him and a capacity than what we realize sometimes. Let me tell you something. Your father knows when you can't take any more. Your father knows when you don't want to take any more. Amen. But your father knows when you can't take any more. I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that, please. And sometimes it's just like, I don't want to. That's understandable. But Lord's like, you can. Let's go. You can. But I promise you, I know this. Your father knows when you can't take any more. He knows that. He knows it. All right? Have you ever felt like there's been time in your life you thought, I'm going to die, but you didn't. You're here. Your father knows. Sometimes it feels like, but he knows how much you take. David said, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Here's what you need. What do you do in such a situation? Number one, realize this. Realize troubles may increase. Don't set your mind with a thing of like, oh, I think this is about it. Don't do that. Don't go neither. Well, it's going to get worse. I know it is. You don't. You know what? Take it as it comes. Take each thing as it comes. Okay? That's why, look here, I want to tell you something. I was thinking about it today. We went out, was going to mow the yard today, and honestly, I just turned the key. I sat on it, and it just didn't. So we broke out the push mowers, right? And so me and Sarah was pushing, which was good. We got there in the sun, got there, you know. So, but listen to me. As I was mowing that yard today, let me tell you what. Watch this. Here's what I thought. I thought to myself, Luke, Adam, I thought, here's something y'all going to need to do one day. I thought, one of the best things y'all can ever do for Abram and Ethan and Braden and Lila too, you hear it, is someday you'll surprise them with a nice birthday present, a push mower. I'm just about serious. Maybe not, but you know what? Here's a push mower for you. And when they can do it, get them out there, and I mean a good section of it, to where they got to finish that thing up and tax them on it pretty good. Not so much just as you benefiting from it, but to where it's like, man alive, it is hot. These are ruts. Son, finish it up. Don't allow any crying.
Amen.
Don't allow any frustration. Don't allow any kind. It's one of the best things. I'm serious. It'll be one of the best investments you'll ever make. Now, not probably right yet. But one of the best investments ever. Because you know something, and I'm serious. I thought to myself today, I thought, you know what? Don't put them boys out there on no riding mower. You do that. You use that. Don't put them boys out there on that thing because they need to push mow it. Seriously. They will want to ride the thing. Put them on that push mower. And get them out there to where, and you know what? It needs to look kind of daunting. It needs to look kind of daunting. It needs to look kind of like, well, just make it longer. And just, I'm just serious as I can be. Why? Because in this instant generation, in this generation that's always, look, we need to understand that spiritually, that sometimes you just gotta gut it out. And sometimes you just gotta take and finish it up. And sometimes you gotta keep going. And sometimes, and that is life.
Amen.
And you grow. You know what I have to do? When I was a young and doing that kind of stuff, and I old habits die hard. Y'all may think it's just silly, but I bet some of you fellas are the same way. I tell you what, I'm like, I'm not going in till the gas duct quits. That machine will not beat me. It will give out a gas before I go in. That don't always happen. As I get older, it less and less and less happens. I find. But I still, I bet you guys know what I'm talking about. I still, I'm like, nope. Nope. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. It's a thing of like, I ain't quitting. I don't want, you know, John Henry beat the steam hammer. Jonathan Dawson's going to beat the Briggs & Stratton. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, and you know what? When I was a young'un, it was like that. And I told you, splitting wood and everything, there's something that I was like, you know what? You keep going. And it has stood me good in some things. And it's good. It's stuff to learn that's important young. It really is. That not always does it have to be that these young'uns need to learn something better and more important. And it's one of the best things that could ever be done. Seriously. Anyway, so realize troubles may increase. Take it as it arrives. What did Jesus say? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Next thing to do, ask yourself, is there anything you can or need to do? Then do it. And above all, keep looking to the Lord and doing right. Go to Psalm 37. Just a couple more things here. Psalm 37. Oh, if my sisters had heard that. They'd had to leave. They'd had to leave. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass. Well, how about that? And wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. There you go. Don't fret. Listen. Don't be envious. Trust in the Lord and do good. Look, just keep your eyes upon the Lord. Go back to Psalm 25. Won't you see this? Verse 17. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O, bring thou me out of my distresses. So pray for deliverance. But then look at verse 18. Look upon mine affliction and my pain. Now, if you haven't heard anything else I've said tonight or got anything, I really want you to listen to this. Look what David says. Look upon mine affliction and my pain. Huh. Why does David word it this way? Why does he not say, Lord, take away my affliction. Lord, relieve my affliction. Help my... He says, look upon it. That's interesting. You see, listen. Watch this. It's what it's going to show us is David understood the character of God. Listen to me. He's looking for relief. That's obvious, okay? So why does he ask the Lord to look at his troubles? Evidently, because David knows the character and nature of his God. And David knows that the eye affects the heart. David knows the character of God so good that he knows God is not going to be able to see this and not do something. It's the way he is. He knows God sees everything. When David says, look upon my... He knows God. God sees everything. Past, present, future. He's asking God, Lord, take notice of it. Consider it. Knowing the character of God. That if God sees it, God's going to do something. He knows the character of his God. Look here. Haven't you ever heard of or met somebody that, you know what? It's like, I could tell them, but if I show them, they'll do something. They won't be able to just sit and take that. They won't be able. There's something about seeing the thing and considering it. There were people in Germany that knew what was going on to those places. Dwight Eisenhower, General Eisenhower, made them look at it. Made them look at it. David says, look upon my affliction, my pain. Go to 2 Samuel 16. 2 Samuel 16. When David says that, man, he honors God with that statement. He really honored God with that statement. When David says, look thou upon my affliction, he's wanting relief. But instead of saying, God help me, God do something, he just says, Lord, look upon it. You ever had somebody say, well, just look at that. And you're like, what do you mean to do? Because, well, man, so often that's it. Okay, what do we do? But see, God can do. When David asked the Lord, Lord, look at it. Rather than saying, God, relieve it, he said, Lord, look at it. He is honoring God because he is, what that is saying to God is, Lord, I know your character of God in your heart. And if you see what I'm going through, it's going to touch you. I know that. It's pretty good. Look here, 2 Samuel 16, look at verse 11. 2 Samuel 16, verse 11. And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. See, David knows about God's character. Shimei's cursed him. And Abishai said, David, I'll go take his head off. And David said, let him curse, Abishai, let him curse. Abishai, good night. My own son's trying to kill me. This man's got a right to curse me if he wants to. I mean, look, David knows he's brought this to. He said, look, who knows, Abishai? God may look upon my affliction and bless me for this cursing he's doing. Just let him alone. Because God, David knows the character of God. David knows that God could look down and go, man, he's laying it on David. And David's humbled himself. David's on the run. He's, you know, and God shows some mercy there. David knows if God sees something, touch his heart. Lamentation says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Same with us. That's the way God has made us. Go to 2 Kings 14. Sometimes you don't know what to pray. Just ask God to look at the thing. Just ask him, Lord, look. Lord, just look. Please look. God, look, look what's going on. Ask him to look. Knowing. And by doing that, honoring him, honoring his character, knowing that he's going to see that. And he's compassionate. 2 Kings 14, look at verse 26. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter. For there was not any shut up nor left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Lord said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. What happened? The Lord saw it, and he did something. David knows the compassionate nature of the Lord. By asking the Lord to look upon his troubles, David is acknowledging the merciful and gracious nature of the Lord. This, think about it. This is far more powerful than just asking the Lord to ease his troubles. For brethren, we may ask someone to help us, yet we don't know if they will or not. But by asking the Lord to look at his troubles, David is strongly implying that he knows that the Lord's nature is such that if he but sees it, he'll do something. He'll do something. Well, doesn't God see everything anyway? Yes. But this is like hearing versus understanding. David knows God sees. He's asking him to look and consider if it were. God, take notice of it. Take notice of it. God, I know your character. I know your nature. I know your heart. Lord, you're compassionate. You're gracious. Lord, look. And by doing that, David is casting upon God, saying, God, I know the kind of God you are. And David is honoring God by asking him to do it this way. It's something to think about. Last part, Psalms 25, last part, verse 18. Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Notice that in the wording of this verse, David is acknowledging the connection between his troubles and his sins. Now, we've said troubles are not always because of sin. Sometimes God is trying us and growing us. In David's case, it was sin from the context we have here. But notice David is connecting his troubles with his sins. Brethren, when seeking relief from troubles and forgiveness from sins, we must acknowledge the connection. It wouldn't do to acknowledge need of forgiveness first while considering troubles as separate from them. Did you hear what I just said? David ties them together. Look upon mine affliction and my distress and forgive all my sins. He's tying them together. If David was to say, Lord, forgive all my sins and look on mine affliction, it's like they're separate. Putting it because he can't separate them. See, some folks are like, well, yeah, I know I've been wrong, but you know what? I don't think what I'm going through is because of my sin. I don't deserve that. No, bud. No. It's a matter of acknowledging, Lord, I believe you're chastening me. You've allowed this, and I deserve it. God, forgive me. Lord, look upon what I'm going through and forgive. It's that right acknowledgement. You see, brethren, there's something about acknowledging not just the wrong, but the punishment of the wrong and the justness of God in allowing it. See, some people acknowledge wrong, but not that they deserve the trouble it brings. Leviticus 26, real quick, I'm just about done. It's like a friend of mine that was in prison, and I just don't think he was saved. I don't think he was saved. Oh, he did the deal. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, same thing. I believe on, I've got saved, you know, trust, you know, I mean, which everybody does, right? But in talking to him, I just don't think he was saved. Because he was so quick to always tell me what he had done. I didn't want to hear it. But he wanted to talk about it, but then it would start coming out. But I didn't quite deserve this punishment. Folks, I deserve hell. And I deserve in so many things in this life way more punishment than I've ever gotten. And so, brethren, when you start saying, you know, I know I did wrong, but that but stuff, Look at Leviticus 26, verse 39, just about done. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, with their trespassers they trespassed against me, and also they have walked contrary unto me. And look at verse 41. And that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I'll remember the land. God says, look, when you acknowledge your iniquity, and that you walk contrary to me, and acknowledge I've walked contrary to you, and accept the punishment of your iniquity. In other words, don't just admit you're wrong. Admit that because of your wrong, I have brought these things upon you, and you deserve them. And the Lord says, look, when you start doing that, okay, well, we're ready to go to town now. Now you're going to make some progress. But, brethren, it's not just acknowledging the wrong. It's saying, Lord, you're just in all you've allowed, and I'm sure I deserve worse, and you're merciful even what you've allowed on it. And, God, I acknowledge all that. Israel needed to acknowledge not just their iniquity, but they've walked contrary to God. God walked contrary to them and accept the punishment. Not saying, I didn't deserve it or that's too much. Oh, I know I did wrong, but No. In other words, brethren, if God's presence seems to be withheld because of wrong, then make sure you cover all ground in making it right. Psalm 25, let's read it and finish up. Verse 16, David says, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain. Notice he didn't say take it. He said, they say ease it. Lord, ease my pain. No, he said, look on it. He knows the character of God. And forgive all my sins. He's willing to make a connection there. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your precious and holy word, dear Father. Father, help us, dear God, to digest what we've looked at tonight. Help us to understand it. Help us to lay it to our heart and show us how and where, Lord, to make full application of it. And Father, we thank you and we ask this in the blessed Lord Jesus' name.